The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now we'll talk student accommodation in just a few minutes' time, but first, with indoor hospitality, as you know, opening up in Ireland today, finally, we're going to look across the water to the UK and a week on from so-called Freedom Day, as it's been called. Raphael Baer is political columnist with The Guardian. Raphael, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, let's talk about two things. One is ministers keep putting foot in mouth, and Sajid Javid was the latest, as health minister, to tweet out of turn.
Yes, so Sajid Javid tweeted and then rapidly deleted a message saying, in essence, you know, we're going to have to live with this virus and we mustn't, in quotes, cower from it. And that word cower upset a lot of people, understandably, really. It suggested that people who have been victims of COVID were sort of overly, were timorous or somehow sort of responsible for catching the disease, and we must stand up to it, and somehow it'll retreat if we bully it back, which is nonsense. And he understandably apologised, said it was completely the wrong word. I think you know, people were allowed to misspeak and use the wrong phrase on Twitter. I think what it reveals, though, more deeply, is a feeling that the government has just decided that it wants the pandemic to be over, it wants people to get back to life as normal, and is just kind of fingers crossed hoping that the infection will play ball with that and go along with their plans. And in the past, it hasn't always worked out like that. So it feels like quite a big gamble.
Now, we haven't had this in Ireland yet, but perhaps you'd explain what a pingdemic is.
Ah, yes. Now, the pingdemic. So a lot of people have downloaded the NHS app. And if you go near someone who has registered as a positive test and has been infected, the app tells you to self-isolate. You're pinged, in other words. And you're then expected to self-isolate for 10 days. And an awful lot of people, because the country's opened up and people are out and about, a lot of people are suddenly getting pinged and they're having to stay at home. And that's had a knock-on effect in terms of things like supply chains, the supermarkets, workers not being able to turn up to work. And it does seem that the government didn't quite factor this into their plans. They didn't realise that, obviously, if you open everything up, but the self-isolation rules stay the same, even if people aren't necessarily getting ill, they are getting pinged. The problem with this word pingdemic, I think, is that it's the same as the pandemic in the sense that, you know, the reason people are getting pinged is because there's an awful lot of infection out there. It's not having such a damaging effect because people are vaccinated. But the reality is the pingdemic is just an expression of the fact that the virus is still out there, but so are people in the way that they weren't 3 or 4 weeks ago.
So 1 week on, is it too soon to judge whether Freedom Day has been a success? Because it's not without cautionary messages from government about personal responsibility. It's not, you know, everything's open and it's fine to do what you like.
Well, that's right. Certainly, actually, there have been contradictory messages from government. So initially, that very much was the mood. It's like, you know, hooray, we can go out and do what we want, but also no, don't actually, and everyone be rather careful. I mean, that expresses a real tension within the Conservative Party. I think the thing that really confused the messaging was that on the weekend, that, you know, ahead of in quotes, Freedom Day, Sajid Javid himself caught COVID and had to self-isolate, and so therefore did the Prime Minister and the Chancellor of the Exchequer, except they didn't initially want to. So there was a period last Sunday morning where for a couple of hours the Prime Minister, you know, Boris Johnson and Rishi Sunak were saying, no, we're part of some special pilot scheme where we don't have to self-isolate. It very quickly became clear that everyone was going to be enraged if that could happen. So they said, okay, no, we are going to self-isolate. And what that meant, that on the very day that was being billed as Freedom Day, when no doubt Boris Johnson would have loved to have been pictured down at the pub saying, look, with all the fun we can have as long as we're terribly responsible, he was actually in self-isolation in Chequers. So I think, yes, there is a little bit of tension and confusion. And in terms of whether it's worked or not, it's definitely too early to say, because actually, I mean, infections are going down, which is good. But the numbers that we have showing them going down don't really yet reflect what the infections that might have happened since last Monday. It's just too early to say. They are showing things like schools having broken up, the weather's got much better, so people are outside more. So, but yeah, no, we don't know yet.
How are we doing in terms of vaccinations, complete vaccination, second doses, in other words?
Well, that was very much the success story of the first part of this year. There does seem to have been a bit of a stall in terms of getting the younger people. I mean, everyone over the age of 18, everyone who's sort of allowed, you know, by regulation terms to have a vaccine, now sort of ought to have been given the opportunity to have at least their first dose. So, you know, the rollout is going well in terms of availability. The under 30 seem to be a bit less, so that they're not rushing out to get it the way that the over 50s and 60s were queuing around the block for it. And that's one of the reasons why we're talking a lot more now about vaccine passports. There's some discussion over when the Premier League starts up again, whether football matches will require a vaccine passport. They need things that will make it clear to those younger people, look, if you actually want to have your life back, you're going to have to get vaccinated. And that seems to be where the discussion is heading now.
There are differing views even in the scientific community. Professor Woolhouse from Edinburgh University is quoted as saying there may well be another rise in cases. He says there's at least 8 million adults who've had no vaccination at all, plus most children under 18, a lot of material for the virus to work with.
Yes, and I think that's right. I mean, even if you have, you know, 70% sort of double vaxxed, that's, you know, 30% of the population of UK is still an awful lot of people. And you know, likewise, although we know that younger people appear not to, or they don't suffer as badly when they get infected, if a small proportion of them do, a small proportion of a very large number of people is still a lot of people. And on top of that, there's long COVID, about which not so much is understood. So the dilemma that the government had, if you were being generous to the government, they really had an impossible choice, which was to sort of take advantage of the fact that it's summer, schools are closed, people will be outside more. Not everyone's vaccinated, but you could at least kind of ride that out with better sort of climate conditions, or wait until everyone's, more people are vaccinated, but then schools are back, it might be colder, people will be indoors more. Neither of those is ideal. They went earlier, they went with a sort of scenario A, hoping that the sun would come out, people would be outdoors and it would be okay. They know that's a gamble. Everyone knows that's a gamble. But on top of that, gamble was a political choice, which was wanting to tell people that it was freedom, because that's really sort of ideologically where the balance of opinion in the Conservative Party is, you know, push this back onto personal responsibility, get rid of regulations governing people's individual behaviour.
Yeah. And finally, about regulations or even advisories, what are they saying about, say, masks on the tube, masks on buses in London and elsewhere, masks in shops? What's the story?
Well, this again goes back to what we were saying a moment ago about the slight mixed messaging. So sort of the language around Freedom Day initially suggested, look, you don't have to do this anymore. And certainly it is no longer a sort of a civil offence to not wear one. So, you know, you previously, you know, you had to wear one on the tube, or in theory, you know, you're breaking, it was unlawful. That is no longer the case. But the government then shifted gear quite quickly, partly under pressure from the opposition and from the sort of the scientific community, to say, look, you really ought to be wearing one. So it's your choice, but we advise you to choose to wear one. And the currently you get the impression that it's, you know, 2/3, I think anecdotally, seems to be around the balance of people just carrying on wearing them. The opposition is saying, Labour Party is saying, they would keep it mandatory. And again, ultimately, we're now in this weird experiment where you say, you know, if it's not something you have to do, it's a barometric measure of how comfortable people feel. And a lot of people are still wearing masks indoors.
On that note, Raphael Baer, political correspondent with The Guardian, thank you very much for joining us.